This is What's It Like with Dr. Ken Tangen.
Hi, this is Ken Tangen. This is episode 57 of What's It Like. My guest is Adam Stachowiak, podcaster, designer, and Texan?
Texan, yeah. Absolute Texan, yeah. Texas forever, baby.
Did you grow up in Texas?
I did not. And the Texans who hear me say that are probably like, oh, that's awesome. He's saying Texas forever, but I grew up in Pennsylvania.
Did you come from a large family?
I came from a normal, rural, small town family. Mom, brother, father passed away when I was a little younger, grandfather, grandmother, you know, aunts, uncles, cousins, those kind of thing.
So in your family, who had the biggest influence on your growing up?
My mother. Big cornerstone in my history.
Mm-hmm.
She's a fantastic woman. She's since passed away, but my father passed away when I was a little younger. So when I was 2.5, my father passed away. So she was pretty much ushered into the role of full-time mom and dad. And I got to say, I'm not boasting about myself, but I think she did a wonderful job.
It must not have been easy for her.
No, it's definitely, you know, something that changes your life on a grand scale. You know, it's definitely like most people live, I wouldn't say most, but the majority of people out there probably have a mom and a father and at least some sort of home and household. I mean, we had very much that, except for the fact that growing up, I didn't have a father figure in my life. So it was just, I think it took my life for a different turn. But at the same time, as a man, now I'm 32, I can kind of look back and in retrospect on my life, I can kind of see that that I definitely had a woman's touch in my life, and I have some sensitivity that I think not a lot of males have. Like, for example, I played sports when I was younger, but even to this day, I'm not a sports fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like not most males, but a lot of males, they're pretty stoked about you know, sports. And I can't say that I didn't watch the Texans play this past Sunday. So I totally did that. I ate chili dogs and watched the Texans beat Indianapolis. So I can't say that I'm not a sports fan. I'm just not a diehard, got to watch SportsCenter every night kind of fan. I don't watch the game on my iPhone either.
What was your major challenge growing up?
I don't know. You know, I think just direction. I think direction in life, finding a groove, finding things that that would excite me. I think that I spent most of my high school life and maybe early adolescent life just wondering which direction I should take in life. And you know, I don't want to puke my entire story onto your podcast, but you know, I went to the military when I first got out of high school. I actually spent a year before going anywhere. So I got out of high school and got a job and got an apartment and did that whole song and dance and was wasting a bunch of my time and just trying to figure out life. And I think if I'm being honest with myself, I was probably just wasting time, you know, just delaying the inevitable, right? Starting life. And I had a couple of friends that had gone into the military, and my brother, my father, my grandfather, my mom's father, we have a history of people who served our country. And it just felt right. Like, hey, if you're going to waste time, let's at least get some money for school. Let's at least get some experience in life, and let's at least follow the people that have preceded you in their direction. So I went in the military at around the age of 19, I believe it was, 18 or 19, spent 3 years in the military, spent some time overseas, learned a ton about life and a ton about discipline. And I think ultimately it really has defined the character that I am today. And I never went to school just because I just never made it. I wanted so badly to go to college, but whenever I got out of the military, I had this GI Bill like most people have coming from the service. And I thought, you know, I'll go into school. I actually moved from upstate New York. I was stationed at Fort Drum and went down to Florida just because it's nice and warm down there and Fort Drum's really cold. So I went to Florida, stayed in Orlando for 3 and some odd years. Thought I would get into a groove and go to school, but I ended up landing a decent job. And, you know, at the age of 21, I was making close to $80,000 a year, believe it or not. And I just thought, well, I'm smart enough to bypass this whole school thing. And I hear people saying all the time that college educations are less and less important. It's more about experience and ability. And I think if I look back at the past 11 years from that moment that I had that kind of thought, I'd have to say that's completely true, because there's nothing that I got today in terms of achievement that have been given to me because I went to school. This sort of just passion and drive and learning.
Yeah, if you look at school as job training, it wouldn't have been a big factor in your life and probably not in a lot of people's lives. Do you miss, however, the breadth of knowledge and experience that you would get from school?
I think what I miss most is hearing people talk about, oh, I did that in college, or I was able to do these things in college and different stuff like that. And I wouldn't say I feel like a level of jealousy or envy or even a sign of missing it. I think it's just more or less I chose a different path. I mean, very much the military was not exactly college, but I certainly had some fun in the military too. Mm-hmm. And I had some significantly different experiences than any college student would have that had never experienced the discipline required to be a soldier and the complete mindset change to be a soldier. And that's not to say that, you know, being a college student is any different. Like, you have to be in a whole different mindset there. You have to be responsible. You have to know about getting good grades and studying. And it takes a whole different level of effort. But I don't think I missed going to college. I think that the military did for me what it needed to do for me. My path was just right.
Mm-hmm. Steve Blank, the entrepreneur, says that the military taught him to volunteer for everything.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, if you want to, either you volunteer or your NCO will volunteer you. So maybe Steve should update his saying. But yeah, that's definitely true because it, you know, Forrest Gump got quoted with saying, "Cause you told me to, drill sergeant." You know, you just do those things, right? When you're a soldier, you just listen, you execute, you don't ask questions. You just trust the people above you and execute.
I want to find out what a typical day is like for Adam, but while he thinks about that, let me thank you for your generosity. This project is all funded by donations, and if you'd like to help, just click on the donate button at whatsitlike.info, and thanks.
Yes, thank you.
So, Adam, what exactly do you do?
That's a good question. Well, my full-time role, I guess when you ask that question, most people say, oh, I'm a banker. Oh, I am a specific role in life. Geez, what do I do? I think I'm more than anything, I'm a thinker. I have ideas. I want to change the world in whatever God blesses me to be able to. I think if I just answer that question as the typical answer, what I do is I do design work. I'm a UX designer for a company called Pure Charity. It's actually a nonprofit that's working to change the world. It's doing some fun things, but that's my primary role. I'm a designer, a podcaster. I create content on the web. I connect people. I help people. That's pretty much what I do.
Mm-hmm. What's the best thing about your job?
I think the best thing about my job, honestly, is just getting to have an impact on people's lives. I love being able to take something that is a true problem for somebody and make it a non-issue. Like, don't worry about it. This is fixed, or here's a solution, or here's a path you can go down, and they can find their own way. But at the same time, I can just be the kind of person to have influence and impact in people's lives. That's the thing what I love most about my job. But especially as a UX designer, mm-hmm. like the entire thing that you do as a UX designer is not just so much design work. You're problem solving. You're trying to take something that would otherwise be confusing or difficult to use and make it so easy to use. And at least that's the intention. It doesn't always come out that way, but that's certainly what I have fun trying to do.
What's the worst thing about your job?
I don't get to do it enough. not enough time in a day. I think that I don't lack sleep, but like most people you might have had on your podcast, they probably suffer from some level of insomnia because they just really enjoy what they're doing and they're passionate about it. And I think the worst thing about my job is just the fact that I don't get to do it enough.
What type of person would be good at your job?
I think the kind of person that would be good at the things that I do would be someone who is optimistic about everything. Someone who sees the bright side on any dark corner, because there are so many ideas that I share with people and the first comments they have are all the negative things that could arise from executing on that idea or starting something or doing something. And I don't think like that. I think that the limitations you place on yourself are horrible. You should never really strap yourself into a box or, you know, not allow yourself to get outside of certain areas of ability, because, you know, if you have an idea, just run with it. I mean, that doesn't mean to be going down every corner of your idea and wasting a bunch of time, but because some ideas are just so horrible. And if you're worried about that, I'd suggest you read the book, The Dip, because that will help you understand when to quit. But there's definitely good times to quit. But there's also a ton of ideas that you just should pursue. And if somebody says, sometimes the negative advice obviously is a cornerstone to being able to actually execute it, because it might be somebody saying you can't do that that actually makes you want to do it because you want to prove that person wrong.
Mm-hmm. If someone wanted to have a job like yours, how would they get it?
That's a very good question. I have no idea. I've actually worked for myself at some level, running my own companies, working with other people through freelance or contract work since 2006. And I've worked from home since then. So I don't know really how you get to the kind of position I'm in, honestly. I think it would just be by dumb luck, or I'm not really even sure if you could design your life to have this kind of lifestyle. I think just be open-minded about what really is a job. I think that Gary Vaynerchuk did a great job with his book Crush It, in basically the entire plot of the story of that book, beyond social media and self-glorification, was that you should pursue your passion. And I think if you're pursuing your passion, one, you'll find happiness in life, and two, you'll find what really makes you happy and what ultimately will make you the most happy, making the amount of money you can make. Mm-hmm. I think many people choose their career path based on a salary. And I think that's just ludicrous. And if you're doing that, please stop. I think you should choose your passions, and it's difficult to even find out what your passions are.
Yes.
And I think that's probably the number one problem with trying to figure out what you want to do, right? You figure, what am I good at and what am I passionate about? Well, I don't think you can really figure those things out until you actually start doing something. So volunteer, find somebody who's a good role model. Success breeds success. So find successful people around you that you can cling to, serve some people, volunteer places, be an intern or whatever, but just find some passion and keep following that passion to the nth degree, and eventually you'll find what really makes up who you are. And if you're my age, and if you're around 30 or 31 or 32, you start to be far more introspective about yourself and your life, and you start to investigate who you are at this age, and you realize, man, I kind of did that right, or it was just dumb luck that I did it right, because that's kind of what I did. I just never stopped pursuing even little passions throughout my life. And I think that's ultimately what got me to all across all the lead paths on the pond and got me to this big old one I'm on now.
Were you a designer before you were a podcaster, or the other way around?
I was a designer before I was a podcaster, and I never went to school for any design. I never took any sort of professional classes. I think I took some art classes obviously in school, and I excelled at it, but I never took any sort of traditional art classes or any sort of professional art classes to learn even web design. I learned web design. You asked about family earlier. My mom is the entire reason I'm a web designer today. Like, she asked me way back when I was running a blog, and she asked me why I wasn't updating it often enough. And she's like, you do a pretty good job at it. Why don't you just keep updating it? Because I was a little further away from home than I should have been at that time. So her communication line to me and my family at the time was through this blog. And I know that back in 2006, around this time is really when blogging was starting to take off. So she pretty much, it was actually 2005, maybe late 2004, when she said that, but she said, you should just do it. You do a good job. And it was that comment from her that sort of just switched things in my mind to say, well, I actually kind of am pretty good at this, or I should pursue this. So my desire for even communicating with my mom and family through a blog was the crux of me even desiring to be a web designer in general. And that is the moment when everything began for me.
How did you become a podcaster?
A good friend of mine, a previous business partner, invited me onto a podcast called The Web 2.0 Show back in 2007. He had started it in 2005. And I was really timid about doing it at first. I was thinking, geez, do people really want to hear my voice on this thing and this fake radio, whatever this is called? And I'm not sure many people even know what their own voice sounds like. So, you know, you hear yourself talk to other people, right, every day.
Right.
But if you hearing yourself recorded is a completely different thing. And I think that was my biggest fear, really.
You hear your own voice from the inside and has an entirely different set of dynamics.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was the most scary thing. And I was thinking, do I really have enough to say? Am I smart enough to be talking to these people? And I don't know if you know the history of the Web 2.0 show, but you know, we talked to a lot of very unique guests on that show. I mean, if you look at the archives of that show, this would probably make you a little timid. People like Cameron Moll and David Heinemeier Hansen, the creator of Rails, and Eric Meyer, Jeff Veen, Ryan Carson on there twice. And I mean, these are people that have been kicking butt, taking names, and doing it well. And here's little old me who really hasn't made a mark in life yet. But I think really, you know, it was a blessing to be invited onto that show. And that's how I got started with podcasting. How I got really started with podcasting, though, was honestly by reading that book I mentioned earlier from Gary Vaynerchuk, Crush It.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made me get more passionate about it, because I realized that back when I said earlier, you know, with passion, pursuing your passion, is that that was my passion. My passion was understanding and discovering people's stories. And I can't tell you how many times that from a podcast, I was able to connect other people with people I had podcasted with just because their paths didn't intersect and they didn't know each other. And I might just, you know, nudge them a certain way or whatever. But that that show had a big impact on my life. And the book Crush It was what really pushed me to the edge to have a true desire to keep doing it and doing it well.
If there is such a thing, what's a typical day like for you?
Typical day like for me is somewhat long, sometimes short, sometimes drab, sometimes very exciting. But typical day is get up, I don't know, maybe 8:15, 8:30, sometimes 8:45. Hit the shower if I have enough time before our early stand-up at 9 o'clock and go through some things there. Like I said, I have a full-time job, so my day is a little jaded in the fact that I don't do the things that people might know me for, or even the reasons you had me on this podcast. So my full-time job basically is, you know, 9 to 5, but I'm very passionate at the same time about that. So sometimes it's not even 9 to 5. Sometimes it's, you know, 8 to 10, and I'm doing my full-time job even more than I'm probably even getting paid to. But if you knew the cause, you'd probably extend your heart and feel the same way. But typical day for me is working on UX design all day, crafting wireframes, designing interface, implementing interface. When I say interface, I mean like web interface, designing web pages more or less for a web application, doing HTML, CSS. But if you're being specific about it, it would be SAS, writing SAS code, not CSS. But that's a totally geek thing, so I'm not gonna go there. but yeah, typical day is just spending the day thinking more or less about problems and how to solve those problems through design and communicating with people, podcasting here and there. Like I run Founders Talk, that podcast, so that's a weekly thing, and I do it in seasons. So I take a month or so off, and then I do 2 months on or 3 months on and a month or so off. And that gives me enough energy to be able to do other things too. So I can't podcast every second of the day. But I also run another podcast called The Changelog. So we get to interview guests there once per week and blog there and a bunch of stuff. So a typical day for me is really design and content production and communicating on Twitter and connecting with people and helping people constantly.
So Adam, everybody has to give themselves motivation occasionally. How do you give yourself a kick in the pants?
That is a tough question. Wow. How often do you get that response? How do I give myself motivation? Well, I think it really comes back to what you have to be motivated by. I think if you're financially motivated, then that's one thing. But I'm not predominantly financially motivated. I think what motivates me, honestly, is how much impact I can have with other people's lives and how much passion I have towards whatever I'm working towards. So I think really I motivate myself by realizing how much or how little I have passion for whatever I'm doing. And if I don't have passion for it, then I just can't do it, or I can't do it then. And if I can't, like if I'm not passionate about the current problem, I'll move on. I won't sit there and waste time and mull over the problem over and over and over. I will I'll look at it and say, right now I'm not passionate about it, and I'll find another way to be more excited about it. But that's on a very low level of that, a micro level of that. But passion, I would say in general, how do I get excited and motivated about stuff? Read books, understand what you're talking about, finding connections, meeting with people. You know, glorifying the man upstairs is definitely something that is a motivator for me. I think that, you know, I'm a Christian, you might know that, but it's very much my desire. It might not always play out this way in life, but it's very much my desire to honor my talents and to honor the blessings of my life. So I think that a lot of my motivation also comes from just pleasing God.
Let me turn the question around. When you have to soothe yourself, how do you calm yourself down?
Relax. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe listen to some music or read a book or take a walk, possibly. Maybe make a phone call and chat with somebody about something that's completely off topic, not even at all having to deal with any of the things I said I'd do. As you said before, what do you do in life? That anything to do with that. So just breaking away, pretty much. Look at my iPhone, check some tweets.
Is there an event in your life that has challenged you to the core?
Yeah, divorce. Divorce and death and those kinds of things will shake your life big time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They can fundamentally change you, but they can be a good thing and they can be a bad thing. And I think the problem with a lot of people is not the events that happen in life, it's how they react to the events in life. And you can have something bad happen to you and you can become a poor me or someone who becomes pessimistic and allows themselves to be shaped and molded by that in a negative way. And I think that's part of when you said earlier, what kind of person do you want to be? I think it's just that I try to be optimistic. You know, I might mull over an issue or be sad for a moment when something like that might happen, but I think ultimately you just got to get back up. You know, I think in Batman, what did he say? You know, the reason we fall is so we can get back up, right? That's probably a horrible example to use. I'd rather use something far better than that, but that's what comes to mind at this moment. So I think we fall in life to just get back up, and it's how you get back up that can fundamentally change your life.
Is there an idea or a principle that has helped you through these challenges?
I'd say the one I just said, really, just, you know, if you fall, get back up. Don't be scared of life. Life is not going to stop. It's going to beat you up. And you got to either fight back or just fall down and let it beat you up.
If you're giving a commencement address for high school or college, giving your best advice, what would you say?
Wow, I really wish I would have prepared for that one. Commencement address. I wish I could live with the Steve Jobs commencement address, I think, for Harvard Business School. But this is the beginning. This is the beginning of everything for you. This is the moment when life becomes fun, or I guess stops being just a fun game and becomes a real game and becomes a game that you have to take responsibly, and you have to understand that there are consequences to your actions and there are consequences to the decisions you make, and those decisions are super important now, so don't take them lightly and do your best to think through purchase decisions. Like, don't rack up credit. Don't go and buy a car the moment you get a job. Don't go and buy a house the moment you get a job. You know, think about challenges you have in life and kind of be more of a marathon runner versus a sprinter across life. Life is long. In most cases, it is long, and most people desire to have their life to be long. So don't just rush into things and don't rush off and get married right away either. I mean, if you're in love, obviously that's a good thing, but take things and think about them. And if you're just going to rush into decisions, it could be a bad thing. I don't know if I would be a perfect commencement address person, but I would just say continue studying. I mean, school's over at this moment for you, I guess, but school really just begins, because the hard knocks of life is going to whack you around. And I think college prepares you and university prepares you, but not to the degree that life is going to. And it's really, your learning just begins really from school.
My last question is to help me get better at this process. So let me ask you, what if there's something that you wanted to say that haven't had a chance yet? Or is there a question I should have asked you that I haven't?
No, I think all the questions you asked me were pretty good. I think that if we go back to the title of your podcast, What's It Like? I think, you know, you pretty much ask all the right questions to understand what it's like to, it says interviews of interesting people. I guess I'm kind of an interesting person, but you didn't ask me how to do content production and stuff like that. I think that's a core to who I am. I don't really know how to do that either. I think just...
So Adam, how do you do content production?
You just do it more. you just produce it. No, I think if you've ever listened to a podcast and you thought, well, this is kind of neat, and thought about doing it, I don't know really how to say how to do content production, but I say if you're passionate about something, it could be whatever really. I mean, if you're really passionate about, for example, I'm really passionate about web design. I'm really passionate about starting companies. I'm really passionate about how those companies succeed and the failures and successes they have. I'm really passionate about very specific technologies. So we started a podcast called The Changelog, and we talk about open source software. We interview people and talk to people who are, you know, doing the best. They're leading the way. On Founder Stock, I talk to people who start cool companies. And I think the biggest thing, honestly, if I had to give any advice before this podcast ends, is people often ask me, Adam, how do you get these people onto your podcast? And you just ask, right? I mean, you can't get them on your podcast unless you ask them. And it's almost like the things in life. You can't get those things unless you strive to achieve them. You're not going to get that girl to go out with you unless you ask her. You're not going to get that job or get that deal if you're in sales unless you ask for it. I used to be in sales, and that's the number one problem with people is they just don't ask for the business. Give me the business. And people will gladly give it to you if they're good people.
If you were doing your life over, is there one thing you wouldn't change?
Wouldn't change. I wouldn't change anything. I think my life is my life has not been perfect by any means. I will tell you, if you pull me to the side, or if you meet me at a conference, or you know, those of you who are listening to this and you meet me outside of this podcast, you think, yeah, that'd be kind of cool. I'll ask that question later. I don't think that there's anything in my life I would change. I haven't had the perfect life. It's been ups and downs, but there is nothing about my life that I would really fundamentally want to change, because my character and the person I am today is not defined by my past, but my scars through life are my perfection. It's a much deeper story than just that response, but my scars are who I am.
I want to thank Adam Stachowiak for joining me today. Thanks, Adam. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kenneth.